welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week we'll be hearing from Alicia Bagnano of the band Bully. But before we get started, I want to let you know about a new podcast that our sister station, KUT, just released. It's called This Is Just to Say, and in it, poet Carrie Fountain, who, by the way, was the most cited poet on the Writer's Almanac, talks to poets about poetry, and in doing so, gets into conversations about creativity and process and inspiration and, you know, life. You can find it on KUT.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Now to Alicia Bagnano of Bully. The band's been together since 2013, and Alicia, who fronts the band and writes the songs, well, she does this amazing job of making, like, real rock music that deals with anxieties and ambivalences in a way that helps you, or should I say helps me, like, release. We've been playing Bully here at KUTX, the radio station in Austin, Texas, where we make this podcast, since their debut record, Feels Like, came out in 2015, and I can still remember the first time I actually, like, heard the words to Trying off that record. I mean, when I realized that part of the song was about her anxiety around waiting for her period, which, like, ladies, I think we can all mostly relate to, right? Like, I felt like someone had slapped me in a good way because I'd never heard anyone talk about that in a song. And, like, why have I not heard someone talk about that in a song before? It made me an instant Bully fan. They have a new record out called Losing, and when we were putting together our KUTX Live at the Four Seasons show for South by Southwest, we knew we wanted Bully to be a part of it. And we were so lucky that they agreed to get up and play for us so early in the morning, like they played at 9 a.m. And after her set, I got to talk to her about a song and a record that showed her that she could indeed make the music that she wanted to make.
So I picked Glorious. That's on the record Pod by the Breeders. The song itself I love and is fantastic, but really I picked it because it's the opener of that record. And I would say that's possibly my favorite record of all time for a lot of reasons. There's very few records that I want to just turn all the lights off in my house and eat a little bit of weed candy and listen to. And that's one where it would just be like front to back. Let me just sit here and take all of this in. There's just certain notes I feel like that are hit on that record that are so heavy, and it makes me feel so good. And her vocals just floating and sounds really clear throughout the record with a little bit of reverb. And just, I don't want to use the word hate, but I don't like, you know, really heavily edited recordings or super polished, or it's like the engineer's going through and locking in the kick with the bass manually. When there's nothing wrong with that, but when I look at Bully records, that's not really the route that I want to take, hence why we record onto tape. So hearing stuff like that is just gives the record so much more character and makes it a lot more personal and makes it feel like you can connect with it a lot more. Some of the record, it's like some of the songs, the snare is just way up there and the vocals are kind of low, but since there's so much space on the recordings, you can still make everything out. And yeah, there's so many things.
Well, I listened to the song and I realized Glorious, which was the first song on that record,
like, that's kind of a like a wild song, like, production wise and like even tonally sometimes I was like, it's hard for me to find like the tonal center, but it does definitely get across like this. I mean, for me, I was like, it's kind of a heartbreaking
it is song. And when she starts and it's just like kicks in, she just goes da 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 da, and that in itself is like, who just starts a song like that? Like, that's so cool. I mean, usually if you hear something started with like a ooh or a da da da, it's like in a pop song, and it's definitely not with the same sort of energy that you take from her starting with it in Glorious. I heard the Pixies before I heard the Breeders. And this I know, his teeth is white as snow. What a gas it was to see him walk her every day into a shady place. The lips she said, and it was when I was in college, and I was listening to something. It may have even been Pandora or something. For some reason, the Breeders came on after the Pixies. And Kim Deal's voice was one of my favorite part of the Pixies. And I remember thinking, this woman sounds exactly like Kim Deal. And that's when I discovered it was her and she had her own band. And then it was like, I was already really, really happy that I listen to the Pixies, and then once I found out she had her own band, my mind was blown. I was just like, this is what I've been waiting for. This is so cool. And then I just fell in love from there.
First of all, the algorithm worked, right?
It did, which is rare, because Spotify, sometimes I'm like, what is this song you are putting on after this playlist? This is, but you know, they gotta learn, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So what, after you heard it, was it the kind of thing where you immediately went out and like searched out all the Breeders stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. It was when I was in beginning college and I was studying audio engineering for one of my classes. I had to get, it was a critical listening class, and I had to get these really high-end headphones, which I had never had before. And I just remember listening to both records through those so I could kind of figure out what I thought about it sonically, and that to me was equally as good as the songs themselves, which is also a rare thing, I feel like, when it comes to a record. So that was another exciting part of discovering those records.
So it was the sounds as much as the songs that really, like,
more the songs, but I think that the engineering really catered to them and the emotion within the songs, which was really cool.
When you started writing for your own project, like, you were studying to be an engineer, but then, you know, but you wanted to be in bands and you wanted to make music. And so when you started, were you writing music at the time when you heard the Breeders?
Yes, I was writing music. I started writing music either when I was a junior or senior in high school, and it was really bad. And I grew up in a really small, or I don't know if it's small, I would say it's a small suburb outside of Minneapolis, and I didn't listen to cool music. I'm not gonna like pretend like I was like, oh, I was listening to undercover punk records. Like, I was not cool. I was just like,
what'd you listen to?
Just like alternative radio. Alanis Morissette. I'm here to remind you. At the time, yeah. So there was a piano at my house, so that's what I wrote on. And then I was learning Logic, which is a recording software, and I would just put together loops from Logic and track vocals over it. I didn't get around to electric guitar, though, until I was, I don't know, 19 or 20, and I was living in a house with a bunch of people, so they let me use theirs, and then eventually I got my own. I think most of college, for me, I was a mess. Now I feel like if I feel a certain way, I know that it's coming on, and I know how to channel it into some sort of creative outlet, but when I was in college, I just felt like a mess all the time. I don't know, and I was really trying to play music, but at the same time, I was really insecure, because I was going to school with all these people who were from everywhere, but a lot of them were from Nashville and had grown up with an extensive knowledge on music theory and like came and knew exactly what they were doing. And I just have always played by ear. I didn't start playing guitar until much later in my life. And so playing music live and joining bands was a really terrifying thing, but all that I wanted to do at the time. And I think, again, this is something I don't know, but when I can listen to records where it sounds more like people are just playing by ear and what they feel like sounds good, or it's not theoretically correct, you know, like you should be playing the fifth of this because I'm playing that. I can't stand that. Like, I get it. It works and it has its place literally everywhere, but not for me. And I don't know, just like hearing that, it just inspired me a lot. It was kind of like, this is exactly my thing. Like, I love this.
Pod, the record that Alicia loves so much, was produced by Steve Albini. He also produced Nirvana's In Utero. And Alicia, well, she interned at his studio, Electrical Audio. And I wondered, did his involvement with the Breeders, like, did it inspire her to work with him?
It was more because they had the tape machines.
Okay. Uh-huh,
and they're all tape experts. While I was in school, obviously, Pro Tools was the medium that everyone was using. And I was really sick of the answer being restart the computer when something was going on. And when I just first got around a tape machine, it felt like a more physical process, and I really liked it. You're literally doing the mix with your hands. And like, there was times when I had to have the guys help and say, at this point, you need to push this fader up a little bit and then pull it back down here. And that's how you're doing the mix. But I don't know. I don't want to sit and stare at a computer for all that time. And I feel like I would never be satisfied, and I would endlessly be pulling it back up and tweaking it. And when I do things there and on tape, that's it. And we move on.
You can move on with your life.
And when we leave the studio, it's done. Those tapes are being shipped to mastering, and that's the end of it. But it's just cool because it's like an accurate representation of what was actually happening in that time period while we were in the studio, not something that happened 8 months after the actual tracking process. And it's like a cool diary for me to look back and just see that was like 2 months, and that's exactly what happened in those 2 months. Is really, it's like a little time capsule or something, except totally. For I'm not going to bury it underground. It's going to go everywhere.
The time capsule you immediately open and show to the world.
Yeah.
When you started making music then, after you heard the Breeders, did it help you get there?
It's hard to tell. I would say yes. It definitely helped me get there because it was super inspiring. A lot of what helped me was messing with guitar pedals. And I just remember experimenting with different delay pedals and reverb. And you will be so surprised when you start playing guitar, like what distortion can do. I mean, it's like you have these songs, you're trying to play like the super fast song, a couple chords, and you turn on distortion. It's like a different world. And you're like, oh, hell yeah, I know where this is going. This sounds so much better. This is like what I was thinking in my head. And I just wasn't getting there with a clean guitar sound. And yeah, pedals, they were really exciting to me.
It's really interesting because I had a conversation with Kelly Deal from the Breeders for this podcast, but like, she talks about very similar stuff to what you talk about. Actually, like she was like, I was never really interested in like technical playing, but it was sounds and pedals. That was what interested her about music and what like led her to want to be a musician. So
yeah, I actually have met both of them.
How was it?
At Electrical, but I wasn't like, I love you so much. I was just like, hi, nice to meet you, and that was it. I remember being in the kitchen, and we were in B, and they were downstairs recording in A, and she came up. She was like, hey, Steve's downstairs. He said you're engineering. You have a really cool band. And I was just like, no, my band, it sucks. Like, I probably said something like that and then just like ran away.
It's so hard. It's so hard when like you meet musician. I mean, for me, I either try to play it like super cool or like I just, because I don't want to like gurm out.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I do.
I cannot play it cool.
Yeah.
I feel like, and And then it's like, it's hard enough to meet somebody that you really like. And then it's even harder to try and take a compliment from them. You're like, oh, no, like, I don't know. Yeah, it was a lot.
Well, they seem really nice. And you seem really nice. You guys should hang out sometime. That's what I think. That's my takeaway from this. Bully and the Breeder should definitely play some shows together.
Yeah, I would agree.
And this is Running from Bully's new record, Losing. And our last episode, it featured Kelly Deal from The Breeders. Yeah, like we put the episodes next to each other because Kelly Deal is in The Breeders and Alicia talked about The Breeders. Even though Kelly Deal wasn't technically in The Breeders when Pod was recorded, she joined later. But we also put these episodes next to each other because, like I told Alicia, the two of them have a very similar way of approaching music. They're more inspired by sound and effects than like getting it, quote unquote, right. And I said it in last week's episode, and I will say it again. When music becomes about sound rather than technical ability, man, it's freeing. It means that anyone can make music. Like, anyone can, because we are all musical beings. And that just makes me really happy. If you haven't heard last week's episode featuring Kelly Deal from The Breeders, then I encourage you to go listen to it. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, or you can go to the show notes page for this episode at kutx.org. I'll post a link to the episode there, along with links to Bully's latest record and the band's set from our Live at the Four Seasons show and to their tour dates, because Bully is on tour right now, and you should go see them. You'll also be able to find a Spotify playlist there where you can listen to all the songs in this podcast all the way through. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This song is a production of 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. The interview was edited by Nadia Hamda, who is a reporter at KUT. She does great work. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern. Aaron Waltz is our social media intern. And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it's true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.